In Focus, we begin what we hope will be a series of conversations with the candidates running for New Mexico governor. Today, Jeff Apodaca, who is running in the Democratic primary scheduled for June 5th. Jeff, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Fred. It's great to be back home in Las Cruces, where I was born. I think people forget that, you know, my mom's from Doniana and my father's from here, Las Cruces, and it's Jerry and Claire Apodaca. So it's great to be home back where my wife went to school at New Mexico State. So we have a divided household. I played football at the Lobos. My wife is an Aggie, and we have a divided household, but it works.
We're all New Mexicans.
We're all New Mexicans.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I know you're traveling all over the state, too. We
yep.
see this, you know, on the news. We see it on Facebook. And I'm sure a lot of people are asking you about your plan to boost the economy. This seems, both among the average folks and all of the pundits, to be the issue in this gubernatorial campaign, because quite frankly, New Mexico is not doing real well economically. We are not sharing in the recovery
You're putting it very nice, by the way. you are correct. We've lost over 100,000 jobs in the last 10 years. Now, you know this. I'm a former media executive. I built media companies, and I spend my 32 years not only here in New Mexico, started right here at Channel 4 KOB in Albuquerque right out of college, but I spend New York, LA, around the region, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, building entertainment companies, building media companies. My wife and I moved back home 9 years ago to raise our children, and we saw our state in disarray. We saw our state, my other regions and my other states, where we saw economic growth, where we have saw states in the country flourish and see record-breaking growth, we're actually going backwards. We have lost over 100,000, almost 125,000, 140,000 jobs, depending on what you want to read. We have the highest unemployment in the country. 57,000 New Mexicans have left. And I believe our opponents and some of our leadership has driven us to 50th in education, have driven us to 50th in job creation. And then we sit on $23 billion and don't invest anything in our state.
I want to get to that.
Okay.
And so that's our permanent fund. You want to invest some of that money in infrastructure. Tell me about that plan.
Well, we want to, so here's our proposal. We have a plan to create 225,000 new jobs, and my opponents have literally said it's not credible, it's not doable. And the media and the press, the Santa Fe New Mexican, has actually said it has actually happened in the 90s and the 2000s. So I'm tired of my opponents talking about what we can't do. What we need to do in our state is think of new ideas, big ideas, major changes in our state. Our political leaders and my opponents have been in office for over 20 to 30 years, total of 50 years experience, and they've driven us to 50th in education. 50th of job creation. So our proposal is, it's time for big ideas, it's time for new direction for our state.
Tell me what you want to do with that
so
money.
We have a plan that we can move, so we have $23 billion, and I think most people don't realize we're one of the wealthiest states in the country. So I'm tired of our political leaders and my opponents talking about how poor we are. So our proposal is, they're investment funds, right? We're not going to take them out, we're not going to raid them, we're not going to deplete them, but we invest these monies, guess where? Texas, Colorado, Oklahoma, Wall Street, in Europe, overseas. Now, I'm not against that. It has actually grown those funds. And then we take a billion of that and we live off it. We live off the interest. Our proposal is, and we can do this legally, we're just gonna move $1 billion of the $23 billion and invest it here in New Mexico at 2.5% return instead of getting 6 or 8% return. And we wanna invest it into small business. 95% of our economy is small business. And in our state, the number one issue is capital to expand and grow small business.
So these would be business incentives, essentially.
These would be business loans,
low
debt finance loans.
So folks
loans.
Have to pay the money back.
Absolutely.
To the state. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Big difference.
That's what I've been trying to explain to my opponents. We actually invest those monies into debt financing. We invest those monies into technology and other companies outside our state. It's time we just take 5% of our money and invest it back into New Mexico.
And of course, capital is an issue for small businesses. But you know, as you know, the legislature failed to pass a measure to even ask voters to use a real small part of the permanent fund for early childhood education. So if you're elected governor, what's plan B if the legislature won't go along with using some of the permanent funds, what's plan B?
Now, we agree. First of all, we spent about $93 million in early child development, which is not enough. We need to spend about $250 million. Mm-hmm. 61% of our kids don't have early child development. Now, as you know, my father was governor in the 70s, and I grew up a governor's kid. What I did see my father do is my father started year-round kindergarten in 1975, and we know how good that was for the state. But we actually realized after 40 years, we need to start early child intervention, early child programs, but we have to go from the community up. So yes, I would be for taking another half a percent out of the land grant fund, which is for the educational fund, for early child development and early child intervention. Now, until the legislators get something on the desk for me to sign, I believe there's other ways to do that. We're proposing that 8% of PED's budget, Public Education Department, and we say 8%, but it's about $225 million, which is 8% of the budget. We literally spend that money out of state, on consultants, on park tests, on examinations, or at administration cost. Our proposal is let's move that money back into the communities, back into early child programs, early child intervention. And then on average every year, we crawl back about $300 million in general funds that go unused. So our budget's $6.3 billion. Don't tell me we don't have enough money to basically create early child education for our kids. Okay. We do.
And in addition to early childhood, 0 to 4 years old, I know that you on your website say that you also want to have year-round preschool statewide mm-hmm. in the state. That also then, if you can't get permanent fund money, is something that you would be committed to using the current budget in a different way to make that happen.
Not only would we use the current budget, but also I have sat down and talked to at least 10 funders, nonprofits in the country that literally want to come here and help us with early child education, with poverty, stuff like that. So I think you'll hear me talk a lot about private-public partnerships and not privatizing our school, but basically partnering with nonprofits, partnering with the private sector, and investing together. We need to start collaborating and working together. This separation, this us bickering back and forth, is just not working.
One of the things that I saw in a forum that I was able to moderate with you and some of the other candidates running for the Democratic nomination that seemed to resonate with people was that you talked about the need to also invest in vocational education programs for folks who may not want to enroll in a bachelor's degree program and may want to be a plumber or work on heating and air conditioning, you know, various things, car repair, jobs that are very important due to a shortage in some of those areas are also quite high paid. And in addition, can't be outsourced, right? I mean, we're always gonna need folks to do various jobs in state. Tell me about your plans in this area and how you came upon this as an issue.
Well, you know, working in the private sector, putting these private public partnerships together around the country and around the region, what we have seen is, and also cancer survivors, I'm very involved in the University of New Mexico, I sit on the Innovate ABQ board, so we're very involved in that. So what we see is, you know, 40-45% of our freshman classes at our universities usually drop out of school, right? They usually don't finish college. Only 21% of that freshman class graduates. So what are happening with those kids? Those kids are basically getting out in debt. Now, in 2015, 2016, we subcontracted almost 41,000 jobs in the trade skills out of state. And I challenge you to go to Santa Teresa. I challenge you to go to some of the border cities. And when you look at construction, when you look at workers that are going on, you see license plates from Arizona, Texas, up north, you see it from Colorado. So my point is, we have cut so much funding and programs for after-school programs and then the trade skills that we've created two pathways for our children. Either university or $8 an hour jobs at a service-oriented restaurant or service in the service-oriented thing. So our proposal is we need welders, we need trade skills. We've literally cut trade skills away from our public schools. So we've talked to the unions, we've talked to the apprentice programs, let's roll those programs back into our high schools, back in our middle schools, let's create internships and fellowships and create skills jobs. Last time we were down here, I literally at La Posta, I had lunch with 8 or 9 contractors. And one of them said, you know, my biggest issue is no one wants to work down here, I can't find a framer. And I started laughing. I said, all right, well, no one wants to work or I can't find a framer. So two totally different conversations. You can't find a framer because guess what we've stopped training our kids to do? skilled labor training. In northern New Mexico and Albuquerque, I would challenge you to start a general contractor job today, because most of the trade skills are now working at Facebook. And so my point is, we need to give kids pathways and opportunities. You want to be a nurse? Here's your pathway. You want to be in the trade skills? Here's your pathway. You want to get into ecotourism? Here's your pathway. You want to go to the university and become a doctor? Here's your pathway. Right now, our educational system has literally created two pathways, to the university or to an 8-hour minimum wage job.
Okay, well, speaking of wages, another thing that you have on your website, which a lot of people may be very interested in, is that you have been very specific about the need to raise teacher pay to a minimum of $43,000 a year. As I'm sure you're aware, we are way behind in this area. Las Cruces Public Schools is at that state minimum, $34,000 a year. Just down the road, just down I-10, El Paso Independent Schools starts at $48,300. So this would be closer to that number, $43,000. How are you going to do it if you're elected?
So again, let's talk about one thing: job creation. What my opponents talk about is they're talking about tax increases and cutting government or cutting programs. Mm-hmm. That's how they balance the budget. What we're talking about is investing in New Mexico, investing into small business, investing into New Mexicans. Once we create 225,000 new jobs, we will be generating $1.8 billion of new tax revenue. What kills me is our state has now got very comfortable about talking about let's tax somebody or let's tax something, and then we got to cut services. No one talks about investing. No one talks about growth. No one talks about job growth. But as we do that, we'll create more job revenue and create more opportunities. Now, we just feel like education is everything. Education gets us out of poverty. Education creates jobs, and education brings companies here. Now, our teachers are the lowest paid teachers. I think we're 48th, lowest paid or 43rd, lowest paid teachers in the country. So our proposal is we need to give teachers a fair living wage, and we think it's 43, 47, and 55. Now, 43 is entry level, college graduate, prepared for school. You go get your master's, you then start at 47. You get your PhD, we'll start you at 55. Yes, and it's going to cost us a little bit more money, but in the long run, it literally pays for itself, because now we're getting better teachers, we're getting better educated teachers, and as you know, you can look at Carlsbad, you can look at Artesia, you can look at Texas. Their teachers that get higher degrees are better educated teachers and actually help our communities better, and it all pays for itself.
In addition to the public sector, you have talked about jobs in the private sector, and one industry in particular is something that we now see that most surveys show about 60% of people support, and that is bringing recreational marijuana to New Mexico. Colorado has seen an enormous growth in jobs and revenue as a result of this. Tell me about your plan to make this happen, because again, like using the permanent fund, this is going to require buy-in from other legislators, even to get it on the ballot.
Absolutely. Now, let me give you some history here. I don't know if people realize this, but New Mexico was the first state to have medical marijuana. It was signed into law in 1978 by some governor named Jerry Apodaca. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy's name. Yes, that was my dad. Never knowing 2 years later, his own son, me, would actually use medical marijuana to get through chemotherapy. I got cancer my senior year in high school. And they gave me pills and shots, and none of that worked, and I lost 38 pounds, I was viciously ill. Once they gave me medical cannabis, it helped me get through chemotherapy. So we know the medical benefits of medical cannabis. Cannabis adult use, along with hemp, right, and the hemp medical benefits and the hemp manufacturing benefits, once you use it for adult use, and once you expand it, and you regulate it, and you monitor it, and you tax it, we're looking at 32,000 new jobs, not only in agriculture, but in growing, and manufacturing, and distribution, and the medical benefits of it. And then our proposal is we should work right here in New Mexico State at one of the best research agricultural universities, research universities in the world. Now, I make a joke about this. If New Mexico State Agriculture Department can figure out how to make 32 different types of chilies, I'm sure we can figure out how to really enhance medical and adult usage for the world and be the leader in research.
I'm out of time, Jeff, but I want to give you a chance to close today, because you did talk about, at a very young age, having cancer. To tell me how that has informed your campaign, going through a crisis at such a young age. And of course, the governor, whoever is elected, will be having an enormous influence on Medicaid, which is about half of our state population is on Medicaid. Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, if we didn't have insurance when I was a kid, we probably would, even as the governor's kid, we probably would have been bankrupt. And that's what happens with these disastrous diseases. But two things real quick. One thing that cancer did teach me is the doctor said I never play football again. I came back and played football. The doctor said I couldn't do this, they're gonna try to save your life. It's been 38 years. One thing that has come out is, you know, I never give up and I always find a way to succeed. And as governor, that's really my motto is we'll never give up, we'll always find a way to succeed. Now, on the medical side, we believe in a single payer system. The system is broke today and it's not working for New Mexico families. And we have ways that you can go on our website and take a look at our health plan. In fact, we're going to talk about it next week on our Facebook Live Turnaround Tuesdays. We do these Turnaround Tuesdays every Tuesday. But basically, it's really about lowering costs, not on the pharmaceutical side, on the medical side, but making it affordable for all. And I think a single payer plan is probably the best way to go for it. Okay. And I'd ask everybody to take a look at it. But one last thing. We can continue going down the same road over and over and over, and then sit around 8 years later and talk about why we're still 50th, or I ask you and your audience to take a look at a new candidate who's turned opportunities around, who has big ideas, who has major changes for New Mexico, because this Band-Aid strategy that my opponents continue to come up with isn't working for us.
Jeff Apodaca, he is running for the Democratic nomination for governor. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great to have you here. Great to have you on In Focus.